Willie's got a copy of that for each of the dads, so he's going to pass that out right now while we get started here. It's a great poem, isn't it? And it's not just sons that have those kind of relationships with their fathers, but we do too, us girls. But it's our dad that we look at, and he plays an important part in our life. But, you know, not all of us have had that kind of a relationship with our father. You know, some people grow up without a father. Some people have fathers that maybe don't know the word of God and don't rise up to be the man that God has called them to be. But all of us in this room have a great example to look at, and that's our Heavenly Father. And that's why today's teaching is called The Father's Love. You know, there's great examples in the Word of God, and there's great examples sitting in this room of fathers, of men of God who have risen up, who do love unconditionally, who do set the standard of the Word in their life. And I think you guys all deserve a round of applause today. So give it to the dads. You know, there's the example of Abraham and Isaac and how much Abraham loved his son. But his love for God was even greater, because when he thought God was asking him to sacrifice his son, he was willing to do that because he has at that moment thought his son was going to be raised. But then as the story goes, we know God stops it all. And you have the story of Joseph and his father, Jacob, and how he loved his son and the colored coat he made him. And we have accounts like the forgiving father, which, you know, what a great account in God's word about forgiveness in a father and son's life. We have such great examples. There we go. But the greatest example we have is the example of our Heavenly Father's love for us. And there are many aspects to a father's love. There's many aspects to God's love towards us. And I know there's more than what I've picked out, but because Bob wouldn't let me teach for 3 hours, we couldn't cover every single aspect. So I picked 7. Now I know there's more, but the 7 that I picked is: a father provides, a father instructs, a father gives reproof, a father forgives, a father gives us grace to walk in, and when grace isn't enough, he gives us mercy. And most of all, he gives us his love. And those are the 7 aspects. Now, a father has to be compassionate at times, kind, patient. I think I'm buzzing. And then a father also has to listen. And our Heavenly Father has all these traits and more. I want to look at Genesis chapter 1. I want to start in the beginning. And all of these aspects of our Father's love to us, you can find operating in the love between a father and his family, an earthly father. One of the greatest things God gave us in the very beginning of mankind was his Spirit. Look in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. And what is that image? Spirit. God put his Spirit within man from the beginning. That was his design, is for man to have that spiritual connection with him. And he blessed them, and God sent them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God provided that connection with him first and foremost to man. And then if you finish reading chapter 1 and read verse 2 down to chapter 3, you'll see how God put that plan into motion. how God not only provided that spirit, but he provided everything that man would need to exist. And then he told man to enjoy it and multiply. That was God's desire. That's the desire of a father to a son and a daughter. Men provide. Men take care of their family. That is what their heart is to do. The children of Israel, if you look through the Word of God, the children of Israel, when he took them out of Egypt, they spoiled the Egyptians. They took gold. They were actually giving it to them to get rid of them. God's people were in bondage for many years, but our Father set them free. And he didn't just set them free. Not one feeble knee was among them. And they had the riches of Egypt, the people that had kept them in bondage. And as long as they obeyed God, what did he do? Took great care of them. That's his desire. And in the gospel period, he sent Jesus Christ to make known him, to make known this great love that he has for man. That's how our Father provides for us. In Romans, look at Romans chapter 10. Over the years, the thousands of years, many things happened. But God's desire to provide for his family continued to be in his heart. And when man sinned, he provided a way for man to be redeemed. And in the gospel period, Jesus Christ came and made that known. And in the church epistles, once again in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, spirit was available to be put inside man, and this time it was seed. It could not be lost. So God still provided for us that great spirit that he had originally wanted man to have and to be able to have that communication with him. And you know what? I know that the fathers in this room and in this world can't put spirit in their children, but you know what they can do? They can teach them who does. You guys can teach the Word of God like nobody else because of what you know. And you can provide that avenue for God to be able to place that spirit within your son. One of the greatest things a father does is teach his child the Word. It's very important. Look at Philippians. Again, we're just looking at characteristics from God's Word about God, our Heavenly Father, and the example that he sets to all of us, and especially to the men who lead our wonderful families. Philippians chapter 4. Again, we're in the church epistles. This is what's written to us. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to supply all our need according to his riches in glory. Remember, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts and ways are higher than ours. So when you look to God to supply your need, get ready to be blown away. But if you look within, or you look within yourself, or you look at somebody else to supply your need, you're going to be disappointed every time. Because we're human beings, and we don't do everything right. But when we do our best to walk upon God's word, then we're able to be the lights of this world, and we're able to give to other people so that they can know the God we know, the Father we know. And then I said the second one was the Father instructs. Remember, God magnified what above all of his name? Let's go to Proverbs. A father who loves his child, our Heavenly Father who loves us, has left us this great Word of God to go to for instruction. And we're going to see just how that covers every aspect of our life. Proverbs chapter 1, start in verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. God gives us wise counsel in His instructions. God is not going to do anything that's going to take from us. God is only going to give to us what will benefit us. And it is our choice to listen to our Heavenly Father, just like it's Joshua's choice to listen to his dad sometimes, who maybe might know a little bit more than he does in life. But you know what? The Father still gives. Whether we listen or we don't listen, the Father still gives. And that's the way it is with you men of God that father your family. You still teach, you still instruct, you still speak those words of life in spite of the reaction. Because that's what God does to us. And He's our example of a father. He's the top father. Proverbs chapter 4. You'll find no better father than our Heavenly Father. And you'll find no better example, men. Okay, Proverbs 4, verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Within that instruction that God gives us is life. He gives us life in His Word. He gives us life in the instructions that He tells us. He's awesome. Chapter 8, Proverbs. We're going to stay in Proverbs here for a couple minutes. There's something else God tells us about His instruction. Verse 10, receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Okay, well, you got it right there. Gold, rubies, silver, none of that stuff compares to the instruction from God's Word. You know, this is pure life that God has given to us. And He wants the very best for us. And I think you know, as you walk through life, most of us have experienced enough of it to know that when we walk with God, we always come out on the top. It's when our foolish heads get in the way that we end up in trouble. But then, God still works with us. Look at 2 Peter. A lot of people don't know God as a Heavenly Father. They only know Him as a God that judges and writes down all the bad things you do. You know, He sits up there with His little black book. That's what's taught a lot in our world. That's what a lot of people believe is the honest truth about God Almighty. They don't understand the Father relationship. And yet, it's all throughout His Word. It starts from the beginning and it ends with the coming of Jesus Christ. And then future with the fulfillment of the book of Revelations and the setup of the new heaven and the new earth. I mean, my gosh, what a God. What a Father to take care of us like that for eternity. And people don't know that. We need to tell them. We need to be those examples, like you men in this room. You guys are great examples of fathers. And you're great examples of men of God. And sometimes I don't think you get enough credit. But I tell you, the women in this room know it. And the children in this room know it. So I'm proud of you guys according to God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This is God's instruction. According as His divine power has given unto us most things that pertain... Oh, I'm sorry, what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Now we get all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to what? Glory and virtue. All great things. That's what our Heavenly Father wants for us. He doesn't call us to fail. His promises won't cause us to fail. Obedience to His Word will not cause us to fail. It will cause us to triumph. Glory and virtue. That's what God has called us to. Our Heavenly Father. And you know what else God does? He gives reproof. Look at 2 Timothy 2. Because we all know. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. The word of God is given for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction. Why? Right? Why? Boy, you guys got that down. That's God's heart for us. That's why God gives reproof. It's not negative. And most of us in our lives have gone through thinking reproof is negative. It's not. It is a way God instructs us so that we can be thoroughly furnished. We can be totally prepared in this life. It's part of why how he shows his love for us. Look at Proverbs again. Proverbs is a great book on instruction and reproof. Wisdom. Chapter 3. And this is an example of God's word talking to us about reproof from our Heavenly Father. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You know, I know sometimes it's not easy for fathers to discipline their children. It's not joyful for the moment. And it's the same way with us and God sometimes. You know, sometimes God hands out the reproof we need, and at the moment, we're not real appreciative of that. You know, we're not real happy to receive it. But you have to remember what he says. He gives it because he loves us. And he wants us to have wisdom and understanding. And with wisdom and understanding, sometimes reproof comes. That's our Heavenly Father. And he even says that a father will do that with a son in whom he delighteth. You know what? I believe God is delighted in us all the time. Sometimes he's not so happy about how we behave, but I know he's delighted in us because he sees us with Christ in us. And we have to remember that. And we have to remember that with our own children when the time comes for reproof. Don't be afraid of that. Don't avoid it. It's part of helping us grow spiritually and understanding how to deal with the things in this life. And God provides that abundantly in his word. Look at Proverbs 6. We'll see another example. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Okay, we can't get much plainer than that, can we? Chapter 10. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not give you the verse, guys? Bad Vicky. 23. We'll read it again. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instruction are the way of life. So it's part of life. That's the way God looks at it. That's the way our Heavenly Father looks at it. It's part of life. It's just part of life. Proverbs 10. Don't get so bent out of shape about it. It's just part of life. Like eating a hamburger. Sometimes it's just part of life. Unless you're vegetarian, then you eat a veggie burger. It's just part of life. Chapter 10, verse 17. I thought this was really cool. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth. Okay. So if you're refusing the reproof, our Heavenly Father says you're making a big mistake. That's paraphrased by Vicky. Big mistake when we don't listen to the reproof God gives us. Okay, let's look at another attribute. God forgives. Ephesians. And you know what? This is a way of life too for a Christian believer. Whether you're a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, or believer to believer, husband to wife, wife to husband. Forgiveness is a big deal. And as most of you fathers know, when you father people and they grow up, you got to have a lot of this in your life. And thank God, God gives us the ability to do that. Because look at how he forgives us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of a sin. Is that what it says? Sins. I wonder why it's plural. You know why it's plural. Because we blow it every day. And sometimes we don't even know we've blown it till we're down the street and all of a sudden we realize, ooh, that wasn't really godly. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, he doesn't just forgive us, but he forgives us according to the riches of his grace. Whoa. Ephesians 4. You guys know I'm going here, don't you? Ephesians 4:32. Again, we're looking at our Heavenly Father's characteristics. We're looking at the aspects of how he fathers us. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Why? Forgiving one another. Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I can blow it on a regular basis with the people I love. And sometimes they blow it with me. And you know what usually happens in the moment? I usually get more upset about what they did to me than what I had done to them. Until I stop and remember what God has forgiven me for. Because that little incident that's between me and maybe Barney at the moment is so insignificant to the things that God has forgiven me for as a Heavenly Father. Wow. When I think about what God has forgiven me for, I tell you, I don't have a problem forgiving anybody else. I really don't. I think God sets this example so perfectly in his word. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Forgiveness is huge. Forgiveness is an incredible aspect of a father's love. Without it, I know I wouldn't have had the relationship I had with my dad. You know? Because when you're growing up, especially when you're a teenager or young adult, no offense. I didn't have the word then. I thought I knew everything. I thought I was so much smarter than they were. And, you know, I said things that I wish I'd never said. But my father, even when he warned me about something and I did it wrong, you know what, my father, J.W. Wheeler, never said I told you so. Not one time. And I really tried to do that with Josh. I really endeavor not to say, well, I told you that's what was going to happen. Because he forgave us. And that's the standard that God sets. God does not bring our sins back to our remembrance. I don't know about you, but I've never gone to God and said, I'm really sorry, God, jeez. And he said, sorry, don't forgive you. No, never had him do that to me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Who's faithful? God, our Heavenly Father. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Good gravy. Not just forgives us, but he cleanses us from that unrighteousness. So you know what? If you start feeling guilty and condemnation over your mistakes, it's not your Heavenly Father's thoughts you're thinking. That's one of those thoughts you've got to lead captive to Christ, because that's just not our God. He not only forgives, he cleanses. I'm going to tell you something. When he cleans, nobody else needs to come back and redo it. It's done to the fullest. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. That's the wrong verse, guys. Hold on a minute. Oh, that's it. Thank you, Bob. I'm looking all around it. Verse 12. 1 John 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So, again, this great forgiveness that our Heavenly Father gives us isn't because of what we do or don't do, is it? It's because of Jesus Christ and what he did. Now, people, you can't get any more forgiven than that. We can't. We're not only forgiven, cleansed of all unrighteousness, but it's because Jesus Christ has done the job. Next time you have a hard time forgiving somebody, think about that. And then when he forgives us, he also allows us to walk in grace. You know, the first usage of grace, which is unmerited divine favor, is in Genesis chapter 6, and it's about Noah. Look, I want to look at Luke, though, because here's another usage of that word grace. And then I'm going to show you one that's probably going to blow your mind. It did mine when I saw it. We're going to Luke chapter 1. You know, that first usage in Genesis really sets the standard for what this word means and does. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And this is an account of Mary. Luke 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, unto Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, you know, I used to think, man, and I still do think, Mary is a wonderful woman who dared to believe God to bear his son. And yet the reason God says right here not to fear what's about to happen is because she found grace, unmerited divine favor. She didn't deserve it. She didn't deserve it. God set this for her, and then she had to make a choice. She chose to believe and to do the thing God asked her to do. But she was picked because of God's grace in her life, not because of her perfection. So there goes the Catholic Church, Mother Mary, right out the window. But it's in the Word. I'm serious. I mean, gosh, look at that. Now look at this one. This one really will. Chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 40. Remember, unmerited divine favor. That's what God allows us to walk in. And look at this. Verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Do you know who we're talking about here? Who are we talking about? Now, if anybody could have walked on the face of the earth without needing grace, it was Jesus Christ. But you know what? God gave it to him anyway. That's our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ, the perfect human being, walked in God's grace. Wow. Doesn't that blow your mind? Yeah. Romans chapter 5. Now, this one made me feel really good when I read this. It's like, okay. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. God's grace in our lives. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one who walked in God's grace too, but by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Okay, so that made me feel great, because I began to realize as I dwelt upon and thought about this verse, no matter how many sins I commit, God's grace abounds much more. So that kind of gives me the opportunity to be peaceful and relax about myself and realize that God's got this thing covered. If I just listen to Him, even when I blow it, the grace is going to be much more than what I blow. It's like, you talk about a father that takes care of his kids. We got him. We have that father. Mercy. Here's another one. Merited judgment withheld. Oh boy. He doesn't pile on what we deserve when we blow it. He just doesn't. He withholds that so that we can walk more freely. And we'll look at a couple of those. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Now, there's a figure of speech here where merciful and mercy is used twice, and it's to emphasize the greatness, the importance of God's mercy in our life. He doesn't just tell us, okay, I'm merciful. You know what he does? He makes sure we look at that. Remember, a figure of speech grabs our attention. It has emphasis to it. He's merciful, plenty in mercy. But you know what? We ought to let him be merciful to us. We ought to let him forgive us and not carry condemnation around about ourselves, because it just does not bless God when we do that. I mean, it's like, you know, we give our children something and they throw it in a corner and step on it and don't take care of it. You know, you can look at that and say, geez, man, they don't appreciate a thing I do. God looks at that and says, come on, come back. Don't do that. This is what I've done for you. You know, God is just God. I mean, He's our Heavenly Father. He's there 24/7 in that relationship with us. You know that? He's our God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. You know, I thought about doing this teaching. I thought, okay, now I'm going to use the word Heavenly Father instead of God. Now, because I want to emphasize the relationship of our Heavenly Father with us. You know, the Father aspect. You can't separate Him from that. You know, you can't separate God from being our Heavenly Father, and He's God over here and He's our Heavenly Father over here. He is God, our Heavenly Father. And that's just the awesomeness of it. So I decided to throw that idea away and just refer to Him the way I needed to. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Mercy. Listen to this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Not just mercy, but rich in mercy. Even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. He wants the world to look at us and say, look how kind their Heavenly Father is to them. Look how much He loves them. They must really be special. That's what He wants the world to see, is His kindness and His love towards us in the ages to come. Man, doesn't that just make your buttons pop to know that God wants you to you know, be the example of him and his grace. Jeez, man, that's huge, people. We're going to close in 1 John because we're going to talk about the last aspect that I picked, which honestly is ties into everything that a father is, and that's his love. You know, all of this that we have is because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17, it talks about how he didn't come to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world. That's why we have all of the things we just looked at and much, much more from God in his word. 1 John verse chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, look at. This word behold is a very intense word. It's powerful. God is trying to get you to listen. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You could read your Bible every day for an hour for the rest of your life and not touch on every aspect of how much God loves us. It's that huge. Look in chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 7. God's love, nothing greater, nothing better, nothing more powerful. The word says the love of God never. I usually say don't use that word never because not usually true. No, he never says he loves me. Okay, that's not usually true, is it? He never says anything nice. That's never, never, ever. So I usually tell people, don't say that word. But you know what? When it comes to God's love, never fails. That's the promise of our Heavenly Father. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, look at that. He calls us beloved. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It's pretty simple. And in this was manifested the love of God towards everyone else. No, towards us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the payment for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we need to do what, guys? We ought also to love one another. And you know what? That is one of the greatest rewards a parent has, is when your child loves you back. When you know a moment happens between you and your kid that is so full of the love of God that you've taught them that your heart just sings. What do you think it does to our Heavenly Father when he sees us love according to his word, according to his standard? You know what? In my thinking, that's probably the reason the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was bearable to him, was because of what he knew it would make available to us as a family with him. That's what he's wanted, a family. That's why he created man. He wanted to have a family. He wanted to have that fellowship. He wanted us to have all these wonderful things he's put in his word for us to know and to have, because he loved us. It's huge, this love of God. Look in verse 16. And we have known and believed. You hear that? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. So if you're afraid of something, you need to start looking at the love of God. You need to draw your head back to Him. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If I say I love God and hateth, if a man say I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. What a great request from our Heavenly Father. First, He gives us that spirit that makes us available to love unconditionally with the love of God. Then He gives us the instruction in His Word about what love is and how love is shown. And then He says, you know what? Love each other like you love me. Because if you can't love each other, how can you love me? What a great example of a father's love. That you don't hold on to that love, but that you give that love to others. What a great example of our Heavenly Father to require the faithfulness to His Word to bring to pass the promises that He will always be faithful to. What a great example that every person who knows God has of what a father should be like. We are truly blessed, aren't we? So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. God, thank You for Your Word. And thank You for this wonderful father and son relationship that we all enjoy with You. Thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness. Thank You for Your knowledge. And thank You, Father, for continuing to work with each and every one of us to enlighten our eyes of understanding, to give us that instruction, that reproof, that correction, so that we can walk a closer walk with You. And then in light of this wonderful body that You've called us to, we can be the compassionate, loving, giving brothers and sisters to one another that You've asked us to be. Give us, Father, Your heart day by day like You do. And give us the courage to rise up and be what You've called us to be. And bless the fathers in this room and all across the United States today, God, that endeavor to love their children and to teach them Your Word. Thank You, Father, for their presence here. And thank You for the way they lead our family and they minister to us and to our children and to one another. We truly are in awe of how You put this thing together, God, and how only You could do the things that You do. And we truly give You the glory and the praise that You deserve, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you.